without expecting anything. Just you can enjoy things outside of your home. Sometimes you can, if it is something good, you can take them to your home. But home is the most important thing, not something which you you have brought. That is Zazen. And we are still studying about Samantabhadra Buddha. This Buddha is told in in Kegon Sutra. In Kegon, Kegon Sutra is famous for its view of Dhamma. In Kegon Sutra, the main thought of Kegon Sutra is perfect harmony with truth and various facts or things, and perfect harmony between every existence. Every existence. Jijimugi or Rijimugi. Most people know this special technical term, Jijimugi and Rijimugi. Rijimugi, Ri is a truth or theory, and Ji is things where you where there is something there is truth or theory. So through things you will understand the theory on which everything is based on. This much is understood almost everyone, but perfect harmony between each things. This is rather hard to understand. Or rather hard to accept. unless you study Buddhist thought more. We say, we have, as I said last night, our thought or our view of things is very substantial. And we think everything exists as it is, and everything is independent from the rest of the things. But actually, everything exists. Everything is dependent with each other. Things are dependent with each other. And things are changing always. That things changes means it is not independent being. So, should not be there must be originally things does not exist having some special self nature. Strictly speaking, everything does not exist. But in the smallest particle of time, things exist. Or as the smallest particle of element, things exist. So in Kengon Sutra, they divide things divide time and space in smallest particle. So in Kengon Sutra, when they explain this Dhamma world, they use cosmic scale of explanation. So that is why the description is so so great. I think I already did it. I read some of the description. The deepest belief and understanding through pure physical and mental action to bow to the number of ultimate elements, to bow to the number of ultimate elements of all the Buddha's lands in 10 directions of the three worlds.
We don't know
how many, you know, Buddha. We have to bow to. It means that when we realize that in the smallest element, there are innumerable elements. So each element consists of the innumerable elements. So we don't know what is the ultimate existence. When we reach this understanding, when we have this understanding, we have no more idea of self. Instead of having idea of self, we will see the Buddha in each world. So this world, if you say, is great, this world is as great as cosmos. If you say this world is small, you will see the innumerable world in even in a speck of dust. In this way, we have to understand our world, and in this way, we have to practice our way. So accordingly, this Bodhisattva's practice is always based on this understanding. To respect the target, this is the number one. With the deepest belief and understanding through pure physical and mental action, to bow to the number of ultimate elements of all the Buddha lands in 10 directions of the three worlds, appearing in each of those worlds as innumerable bodies, as many as the number of ultimate elements of all the wondrous incomprehensible Buddha. And bowing to Buddha, to them, kasana by kasana, and to continue this practice perpetually. This is the first bow. So actually, it means to continue this practice incessantly. And for us, everything is Buddha, large and small. Everything is Buddha. So to respect Buddha means to respect everything. And the second one, admiration of the target. With deepest understanding, actually seeing the new marvel of ultimate elements of all the Buddha lands in exhaustible. With the deepest understanding, actually seeing the number of ultimate elements of all the Buddha lands in 10 directions of the three worlds, making inexhaustible sound of sea from his tongue, and from each of the innumerable sounds, making out words of the sea, to admire the sea of virtue and merits of all the satyas, and to continue practice forever. This is the second vow of the Samantabhata, the Bodhisattva. This is also the practice to treat everything as you treat your teacher or Buddha. As Dzogchen Zen says, you should not call rice, kome. You should call it okome. Okome is more honorary prefix. Okome. Instead of saying mizu, water, omizu, it means o means honorary. Or you should treat a grain of rice as you treat your eye. This kind of practice comes from this idea. So instead of respecting, instead of respecting things objectively. Here we have, we respect our practice instead. It looks like we put emphasis on to respect something, some particular thing. But actually, we respect the practice. Practice of respecting things. So usually, you know, when you bow to Buddha, you look like you are respecting Buddha, but actually, why you bow to Buddha is to continue your practice. That is the point. Without having any particular idea of any particular substantial idea or materialistic idea, just to live bodhisattva's vow is the point. So we practice our way to solemnize this Dhamma work. So without practice, things doesn't mean anything. Because of our practice, things come to have some meaning. So without practice, there is nothing. But when you have materialistic understanding of things, even though you do not practice in a way, things exist. But if you understand how things are going completely, you should continue your practice as things are going. This is the point of practice. And the third one is about kuyo in Japanese, to provide things for Buddha or Sangha or Dhamma. In Sanskrit, we say puja, puja. Vedanta, once in a while, I don't know when, they practice puja. It means to make offering or to recite sutra. Actually, we offer incense, that is kuyo. To offer flower, that is also kuyo. And originally,
we count four fields. One is, you know, to prepare food for the Buddha. And to prepare something to wear. And to prepare something to sleep in. And to prepare Buddha for Buddha, something to some medicine. Those are four fields. But later, we count many and many ways of making offering or prayer. This is also our practice. And in Kengon Sutra, why we make those offerings, it's described in detail. Why we do not use zuko, or zuko is, you know, very fine powder of incense, you know, and we rub it, you know, we put in the hand like this, you know, when we have special ceremony. Why we do it, or why we burn incense, or why we offer flowers to the Buddha. Zuko, which is the fine powder of incense, is to purify. Our body and everything. And to offer flower means to have compassionate mind. You think as if a beautiful flower opens in your mind. And with this flower in your mind, you should decorate the Buddha land. That is why we offer the flower to the Buddha. Why we burn incense is to pervade our way all over the place, all over the world. So when you burn incense, if wind comes from east, incense will go to the west. wind comes from east, incense will go to the west. So according to the wind, the incense will pervade everything. So that is why we offer incense. And each of the incense will be one merit. And one merit will be burned by wisdom of fire. And smoke of or smell of liberation will pervade all over the world. In Kegon Sutra, it is described in this way. And food is to support our immortal practice. When we practice our way, when we support our way by food, we will attain enlightenment. So to offer food or to take food is to practice our way. And light, or candle light, or whatever light it may be, why we light, offer light, is to break the darkness of ignorance. That is why we offer light. This is understanding. And this is material offering. But there is Dhamma offering. The Dhamma offering is very symbolical and idealistic. To read, to recite, or to build a shrine. Or to make copy of scripture, or to build, or to make a bed, or to make Buddha image, or give lectures about scripture. Those are Dhamma offering, or Dhamma kriya, we say. Now this is, it is not only, there are many kinds of description. When Buddhism was introduced to Japan, and soon after Buddhism was introduced to Japan, we made big Vairocana Buddha. And do you know, I think you know the big bronze Buddha. Nara. And this is a kind of, you know, kriya in pretty large scale. As the description of cosmic description of Kengon Sutta. As it was described, way of making clear, described in Kengon Sutta, they did it very, they made great big Buddha, you know. But it does not mean, true understanding of Kengon Sutra is not matter of a big or small. But their understanding was rather primitive, so they made a big, big book, which with the best effort of the nation, they did it. And since then, Buddhism became more and more elaborate. Their practice more and more became elaborate. And they spent most of the time in their devotional way of practice until no commoner can follow their practice. So when Kamakura period, when the government lost their power, the samurai class arose and take over the influential controlling power, and that was the Kamakura theory. And the various new schools appeared at that time. Then was one of the schools, new Buddhist school. If you understand this kind of spirit of making offering, as Dogen Zen said, offering should be like to offer the flower which blooms in demoted mountain to the Buddha. It should be like this. In spring, we in Japan we have cherry blossom, and to offer that cherry blossom to the Buddha is kuyo, is offer, to make offer. This evening, you know, you saw the big ring around the moon, you know, to make offering to Buddha, to make the big ring with the big ring to make offering to Buddha. It's clear. to hear the sound of the river should be free. According to Dongeng things. So, two hearts. Deeper understanding. Instead of shallow, substantial understanding. Is to make a perfect offering. I'm very grateful for you to make various offerings to the altar. Sometimes white flowers, sometimes stones, candlestick is sometimes stone. But this is true offering, I think. And this is the true practice. Offering is practice, our practice, which should be continuously practice. And when we practice our way in this way, there is Buddha. And we are also Buddha. In this way, we should understand this Bodhisattva's vows.
Some more questions? Please ask me. We should know, you know, what does it mean, actually. Indian literature is very, they repeat things, description over and over again. And Buddha scripture is not exception. But we should know what does it mean actually. Up and down.
Like not south, east, west?
And, you know, east and north, east, south. Eight and suffering. I'm very much ridiculous. So I don't know how many.
Is our community here different from the original Buddhist community? Or is it?